Over the years, your body becomes a historical document of dramatic moments that are memorialized in scar tissue. You can probably point to just about every scar on your body and vividly recall the details of the event that left an indelible imprint on you. But you probably also have some scars that aren't so visible. Times in your life when what someone said or did scarred your emotions, your mind, or your heart. The external damage can be stitched, glued, or stapled, and you just move on. But how do you deal with the ones you can't see? Join us as we look at how to begin to heal, recover, and move forward in spite of the scars.
Several years ago, I got a call from my father, and he was telling me that he had gone in for some tests, some things that didn't just look right. And a couple weeks later, I got a call from him that he actually had cancer. And so they went to the Cancer Institute of America, and they began to do some additional testing and some different things. And one of the things that was very interesting in at least how they did things there was that as he got there, he met with other people and other men that had a similar type of cancer, and they told him their story. They told him the process. They talked through the different treatments that they had. And he met multiple people there who had had similar experiences and were going through the process. And as he was sharing this with me, he talked about how encouraging and how helpful that was to have talked with somebody that actually had the same exact thing, went through the same process, same diagnosis, and went through the same treatment. I began to talk with some other people, and some of you actually have gone through this process as well, with having, things that have taken place where you've gone through surgeries or you've gone through transplants. And one of the things that they're doing now is that they are often, if you're going through something really, really difficult like that, they'll often team you up with somebody who has gone through the same thing or something very similar that you've gone through. And what they've discovered in the medical research is that they've discovered that if you can meet with someone who has had the same thing or similar thing that you have had and been able to have a conversation with them and seen that not only did they make it through the treatment, but they were healed, they were able to go through the process, they were able to overcome it, it went into remission, or whatever the case may be, that the ability, the survival rate, the healing, the recovery rate skyrockets. Because something takes place with inside of you when you have a conversation with somebody that's gone through what you've gone through and you see that they've come out the other end. And so many hospitals now are really beginning to do this, if it's something significant like that, that they'll team you up with somebody that's gone through what you've gone through. They do it even with veterans, you know, veterans who've maybe lost a limb or a partial limb, and they team you up with somebody that's gone through that. And it's this amazing thing that happens inside of us as human beings when we see somebody else that's gone through what we've gone through and has come out the other end, maybe not unscathed, but they've come out the other end and they've healed from it. When we talk about our emotional, our mental, our relational scars, and we begin to realize that we have gone through some things and we've begun to come out the other end, what we need to realize is that as much as those scars are a part of who we are and they do shape our personality and that type of thing, our scars, the marks that are put on our emotions and our mind and our relationships and how we see things, are also proof of something else. They're proof that God heals. As you think about that and you go, man, boy, you know, we look at our scars and we almost always think about, especially in those areas of emotional and relational and spiritual and that type of thing, we look at them as a negative thing. But if we begin to realize that really what our scars are to other people is they are proof that, you know what, you can make it through. You can go through this process and not maybe unscathed, but you can make it through the process and you can find healing on the other end. And so it's really important is today we talk about this idea of sacred scars, something that God can take that maybe was difficult, painful experience or relationship or hardship that you've experienced in your life, that God can take that scar and can actually use that scar to help somebody else find healing in a similar relationship as you've had. Because here's the truth, you live long enough and you are undoubtedly going to discover or encounter or come across others who have had similar pain that you have had to work through. you're going to come across somebody who's had similar struggles, who's had similar addictions, who's had similar breakups, who's had similar hardships, who've had kids that have had similar struggles as you've had. And so if you understand that and you realize that, then that scar that maybe you are struggling or you have struggled to find healing from, you realize that that is something that God wants you to use to be able to help other people find the healing that you have already discovered and already enjoy. We don't really have to be perfect. In fact, I think that's sometimes what people think, you know, when they come across somebody else who maybe is going through a difficulty and they go, well, you know what, I'm like 80% through that process, or I'm 60% through that process, but I'm not totally perfect yet. I'm not totally got it all figured out. In fact, let's just really quickly, just to kind of diffuse that, how many of you have life all figured out? Okay, John, that's about it. Okay, good. Debbie's looking at me going, oh, we don't have life figured out. And the minute that we believe that we have to have life figured out to be able to come alongside and help other people is the minute that we might as well, you know, just call it cash in our chips and be done, because we're never going to have life figured all out. It's just not going to ever happen. And so if we wait to be able to have complete healing, then we're never going to be able to help somebody else find any healing. And here's the thing that's interesting, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. You will never really have complete healing until you share your healing with someone else. And so as we process through this morning, this idea of a sacred scar, it's that not only that scars are a proof that God heals, but God wants to take those painful scars and he wants to turn them into a sacred promise. He wants to take those painful things and he wants to turn them into a promise in which he says this: I will always heal, I will always bring restoration, and I will always bring redemption. You see, your story, the story that God is writing on your life, is a way that God wants to illustrate that promise to other people. God wants to take the context of your pain and have that be an illustration of his promise. And so this morning, the big idea is this: your scars could be the key that unlocks someone else's prison. Your scars could be the key that unlocks someone else's prison. The thing that you have struggled with for so long that you are starting to have some victory over, the thing that overwhelmed you for so long that now you are beginning to have overwhelming victory over, could be the very thing, and your story could be the very thing that literally puts the key in someone else's hand and says, you can get freedom too. We've talked about it for the last couple of weeks, about how to get freedom from the scars in our life, how to get over those things, how to conquer those things. And so today what I want to talk to you about is the fact that God has a plan for those scars in your life, and he wants to take that thing that has been so painful and so difficult for you, and as he brings healing in your life, now he wants to bring healing through you to other people that are around you. And so the passage we're going to use today, we're exclusively be in this passage. So if you've got your Bibles, you can turn there. You can open it up in your Bible app or whatever you want to do and be able to do that. But we're going to read in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And so to really kind of get this all set up, I want you to just think about it this way. So often that thing, those scars, that pain that you thought was going to imprison you forever, might very end up being the very tool that God uses to set another person free. Sometimes the pain, the very pain that brought tears to your eyes for years, every night as you were getting ready for bed, as you were laying in bed, the tears would just kind of stream down your eyes. That addiction that you struggled to get conquering over of, that you sought to break free from the chains, that area in your life that you begged God over and over and over to give you freedom from and give you victory in, those are the very things that God wants to use so that you can come alongside others and help them find freedom from as well. You see, sometimes, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but the reality is that sometimes the experiences of the things that hurt us the most are the things that God uses to bring the most healing in other people's lives. And so today, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, and Paul just kind of lays this all out. And I want, as we read through this, we're going to pause, okay? So don't be like, I'm going to read through this whole thing. We're going to pause and just kind of pull some things out, because sometimes when we read too fast, we miss some really powerful things. So we're just going to take a minute and just read through this, and then I'm going to work through three different ways that God wants us to share. So he begins with all praise to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we read that and we go, that's a very simple sentence, right? All praise to the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice something that's very, very important. It begins with the word what? What's the first word? All. Now that's not a detergent. That's not a detergent that makes everything wonderful. And that's not the ancient secret or whatever. It's the word all. And it's a very simple three-letter word. But when you see the word all, guess what it means? Yeah, this is not complex. This is not Greek or anything like that. When the Bible says the word all, it means the word all. So does that mean part of it? Does that mean 99.9%? What does it mean? No, it means all. So therefore, when we begin this whole process, we begin this whole understanding of being able to work through and share our struggle, our story, our scars with other people, it begins with this whole idea that all praise belongs to God. It has nothing to do with you. Now, sometimes we want it to be about us, right? Don't be like, oh, no, I never want it to be about me. I have a Facebook account, too. So, let's be honest. Sometimes we want it to be about us. But we have to realize the fact that it's very much true that it all has to be about God. It all comes from God. It all goes back to God. It is all about God. So in this process, we have to begin with the realization that all praise has to be directed towards God. None of the praise can be, I want you to understand what I've made it through. It's not about that. It's about how God brought us through. All praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the source of every mercy and the God who comforts us. I love that. He is the source. He is the well. He is the author. He is the one that begins and ends all mercy. Mercy, if you remember, we shared this with you a few weeks ago. Mercy is God not giving you what you deserve. And we deserve an awful lot, and not in the positive sense. So the Bible says that not only does all praise belong to God, but he is the source, the author, the inspiration, the well of all mercy. And he is also, even though he is righteous and holy and all of those things, he still chooses and desires to comfort us in all of our troubles. Paul continues to write in verse 4. He comforts us in all of our troubles. And then he gives this wonderful little, if you're a grammar, you're an English teacher, you'll love this, because he gives a reason. He goes, so that, right? Now, if you were one of those wonderful teachers, I'm gonna just, you know, butcher the English language for just a second. So just don't write me any nasty notes. But so that, in other words, when you read the word so that, you have to then read what comes after that, right? Because otherwise it doesn't make any sense. God is the one that comforts us in all of our troubles, so that, he says, here's the reason why he comforts us in our troubles, so that we can comfort others. Now, we want God to give us comfort so that we can be what? Comfortable, right? God, give us comfort so that we can be comfortable. God, give us comfort so that we can feel good about ourselves. God, give us comfort so that we can be healed. God, give us comfort because we want to, you know, be able to sit in the lazy boy of life and just enjoy things, because that's what we want. But the problem is, the Bible says that God's purpose in giving us comfort is not just so that we can be a reservoir of his joy, but rather, we are to turn around and show and give comfort to others. God comforts us for the very purpose of us then sharing that comfort with others. He goes on. He goes, when others are in trouble, when others are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort that God has given us. You can be sure that the more we suffer. Now, see, here's the thing. Okay, 21st century church, especially in the Western world, this idea of suffering has really been lost to us. If you spend any time around the world and you talk with Christians that are in other worlds, especially Middle East or third world countries or even in Africa and that type of thing, if you are a Christian, you literally put your life on the line every day. And yet we go to Starbucks and we go to get our latte or whatever, and we see, it's some gay pride thing. Or we go to, buy our stuff at, the women's store that's got all like the smells and the scents and the bath stuff. What is it? Plush. Is it Plush? Is that what it is? Blush. There we go. Blush. And it's got all this stuff, for LGBT or whatever. We're like, I'm being persecuted for my faith because I have to buy my stuff here at this store. Or we get pulled over and the police officer comes up and says, do you know why I pull you over? And in your mind you go, yeah, because I got a Jesus fish in the back of my car. That's why you pulled me over. Because we're being persecuted for our faith. We honestly, and I don't say this like you people, I like us, we don't have a clue about what it means to suffer for Christ. But here's the thing. God says the more that you suffer, watch this. The more that we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. So here's this amazing thought process, because we think that comfort is a destination, right? And it's to us. Comfort is not a destination. Healing is not a destination. It is a journey, and we are just a waypoint on the journey. We're just a part of the process of what God is doing in the world. Because it's not about us. All praise goes to God, the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the source of all mercy, who gives us comfort in all of our troubles so that we may comfort others. And if we suffer in the midst of giving comfort to others, or whatever the case may be, we suffer for Jesus Christ, then don't worry about it, because God will continue to give us more comfort through Christ. Whew, that's a lot of stuff in three verses, isn't it? He's just kind of laying it all out there and saying, this is what it's about. Those scars that are part of your life are not an end. There's not just an end to this story. It is a process that God is using those things so that those scars that you think are hurtful and painful, God can actually take them and turn them into a sacred promise that if you will use those things, that your scars could be the very key that unlocks the prison that others are living in, because they have yet to experience the comfort of Jesus Christ. So here are three ways. And I'm going to pull these out from this passage, and we'll just kind of reference back to them. There are three ways that God wants us to share. He wants us to first share in a way that gives God or gives him the praise. Because he begins with all praise, right? All praise belongs to God. All glory belongs to God. All celebration, all honor belongs to him. He is alone worthy of it. We're not worthy of it. We're like, well, we stumbled through it. We made it. Give us praise because we made it through. No, God brought you through it. You didn't get through it. And so when we get to the other end and we begin to share our story with others, it's not about sharing our story in a way so that people honor us. It's about sharing our story so that people see the greatness and the healing of God. Because our lives are not supposed to point to us. We're supposed to be a beacon of hope that points to Jesus Christ. So watch this, because if we understand that we're supposed to share in a way that gives God the praise. Have you ever met someone that every story, you get every gory detail? You know what I'm talking about? I don't think any of you have ever done it. So if you have, and I'm not thinking about you, so don't even think about it. But I remember early on in ministry, I would go with the senior pastor on hospital visits, and I would go with him, and I was always kind of watching how to do it, like, okay, that's okay. And one of the things he said to me very early on, he says, get used to seeing stitches. I said, what? He says, get used to seeing stitches. And I said, well, I don't understand what you mean. He goes, if you visit somebody that has had surgery, you will see their stitches. I said, what do you mean? He goes, just watch. So we walked in, and we're talking to this lady and everything. How'd the surgery go? Well, it looks pretty good. I'm like, okay. How's it healing? Well, you know, it's just, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where the scar is, by the way, either. That's awkward. But because, you know, they're just here. Let me just show you. Just let it all hang out. Here you go. This is what's going on. But here's the thing. If we share our story in such a way that we go into all the gory details, what are we actually giving glory to? The details. We're giving glory to the gore and the mess and the difficulty and the struggle. And guess who comes out smelling like a rose? Look at what I've made it through. Would you like me to sign your t-shirt? Because I will. And listen, I've started up my own little devotional page about my great thoughts on the subject. And you can subscribe here and I'll share daily thoughts, daily inspiration from Dave about how to, you know, man, it's all about us. But God says, listen, that's not why we share our story. We share our story so that God is highlighted. That he is the one that brought healing in a situation where no one thought it was possible. That he was the source of all mercy in our life. That he was the one that brought us through, watched us go it through. It is not about us. It is all about him. And when we understand that, how we talk about it changes the who gets the glory in the end. If we minimize the gore, we maximize the glory that goes to God. Because it's all about him. And how he brought us through. He begins that section of Scripture. He says, all praise to God. He's the source of mercy and the God of all comfort. You may or may not know this name. Rick Warren, if you've ever read The Purpose-Driven Life. He wrote that book, and it's helped millions and millions and millions of people. And several years ago, son who had struggled his entire life, 30-year-old son who had struggled his entire life with bipolar and depression, committed suicide. And they went into, obviously, a time of just quietness. They just kind of pulled away. And it's amazing. There's a, I don't know if you want to call it an undeniable or a sad truth about our world. The more that you try to help people, the more you become a target of people's attacks. If you don't believe that's true, just try to be nice to people, be good to people. Try to give hope and healing and help to people, and I promise you, you'll be pulling knives out of your back for the rest of your life. That's just the way that it is. And so here, this man and this couple who had been such a help to other people, writing books, sharing of himself, all of these things. When his son commits suicide, literally people came out of the woodwork. You know, the basement theologians, you know, began to write things in their blogs about how, you know, oh, this is God's judgment on his life because he doesn't preach the true gospel and he doesn't do this and he doesn't do that. And people began to attack him because the minute that people who do good, if there's any sense of weakness, you can just guarantee that people are going to come out after you as quickly and as harshly as you possibly can. And several months after that, they came out and they began to just share their story, what God was doing in their lives, how they were working through it. And in an interview, an individual asked them, they said, you know, most people, after going through something like this, after doing so much for so long, for so many, and then so many of those people then turning around and attacking you publicly and in just very unethical, cowardly ways, would just pull back and retreat and go, enough, we don't need this anymore. I said, why have you and your wife chosen to really be open and share with people how you're working through this and how you're doing that? And it was really amazing. And I shared part of the quote here with you. He basically said, you know, we realized other people need to realize that when you go through difficult things like this and you make it through, there's a powerful principle, and that's this, that God didn't pull you out of that dark place so you could keep it to yourself. He pulled you out of that place so that you can pull others out also, so that you can have the power to turn your sorrow into someone else's hope, to turn your pain into someone else's victory, to turn your past addiction into someone else's freedom. He went on to say, we don't have a choice in this. God has provided us comfort and healing, and it is now our job to share that with others. You see, that's the perspective we've got to have. It doesn't mean you're not going to go through life scathed. In fact, quite frankly, the Bible tells us that if you follow Jesus Christ, that you will have trouble. But it's how you handle it and how you move on. You share it in such a way that gives God the praise. But you also share it with the purpose of providing comfort. You share it with the purpose of providing comfort. Now, I'm sure that none of you are this, and none of you have ever done this before. But there are a couple people that don't get this. I'm going to give them my own little titles. It's the I know what you mean people. And I'll describe it. You know, you're going through a hard time or a difficulty or a struggle or something, and you share it with someone. And their response is, oh, I know what you mean. And then they share their story. And in your mind, you're thinking, no, you have no clue. You know what I'm talking about? Maybe you go through a really, really difficult time in life and you know, all sorts of stuff has happened and it feels like the world is falling apart. And you go with someone and they go, how are you doing? Which, by the way, if you don't want to know how someone's doing, don't ask. You're like, how are you doing? Do you really want to know? No, glad to see you. You know, walk off. But if you say how you're doing, and if it's a close friend or whatever, and they say how you're doing, you go, well, here's how I'm doing. And instead of giving comfort, instead of going, man, I am so sorry to hear that. Is there anything we can do to help? Can I put my arms around you, give you a hug? Can I, you know, whatever. I know what you mean. You just want to punch him, don't you? It's like, this person did this, and then I was trying to help this person, and then they turned around, and they said this, and they went to this person, and they gossiped about me, and they did this, and they did that, and all this type of stuff. And they go, oh, I know what you mean. This morning, my daughter backtalked me, my 3-year-old daughter, when I told her to pick up her stuff. She backtalked me. Oh, yeah, that's the same thing. No. Don't be a I know what you mean person. Because let's be honest, you probably don't. And you may have gone through the same thing, but you're not them, and you don't have their past, and you don't have their experiences. The second person is, you've got the I know what you mean person, and then you've got the one-upper. You know the one-upper? You show up late to an appointment because you hit a deer on the way to the appointment, and you get there and they go, man, what happened to you? Oh, on the way here, I hit a deer. And they're like, really? Well, 3 years ago, I was driving down the road, and I hit 2 deer, and the second deer was a doe, and the doe laid on top of my hood and had a fawn, and they both jumped up and ran off. And I was late to a doctor's appointment, and I lost my doctor's appointment because he knows I'm a Christian and I'm suffering for Jesus. The one-upper. You share your story to give comfort. Not to talk about how bad your life was. Not to go, well, I know what you mean. But to give comfort. Because you are to be a conduit of God's comfort to others. As I was doing some research for this message, I came across an interesting article written by a gal named Kimberly Jones Pothier. And she was actually referencing this part of the passage that says, we will be able to give the same comfort that we have received or that God's given us. And she writes these words because she's sharing her own story. And then she writes this. She goes, I began to discover that God often uses our deepest pain as the launching pad of our greatest calling. He can turn your deepest heartache and misery into your most impactful ministry, into the life of others. Because, see, when you share, you begin not only with saying it's all about him, but then when you share, you realize it's not about me. It's about what God is doing through me. And so it's not about you talking about your struggles so that other people can commiserate with you. It's about you coming alongside others and sharing your story to give them hope and healing to help them through. So we share in a way that gives God the praise, and we share with the purpose of providing comfort. And the last one, we share because it adds to our own healing. In the passage, notice it says, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. You see, God desires to heal others through us. And as he heals others through us, he completes the healing he has begun in us. You see, there's this interesting thing, and I know I've shared this throughout the message, but I just give you one more way to help you understand it. Think of yourself as an extension cord. I don't know about you, but you know, every house that's ever been built in the garage where a guy planned on having some type of workspace, there is usually one electrical outlet in the entire garage. And it is in the worst place possible. And it doesn't matter what type of a cord you have on your drill or on your saw, it is never long enough. It just isn't. And guys, you know this, right? It's just like, you got to get out the extension cord every time. So if you will think of yourself as an extension cord, you will realize and think of it this way. God has allowed you to connect to the power of his comfort. And you're going to rub shoulders with other people who have not gotten that close or received the comfort that God has. And so you, as an extension cord or an extension of God's comfort, can now tap into their life. And therefore, the continuity of God's comfort comes through your life and connects to theirs. That's what God's called you to be. As you receive comfort from God, you are to give comfort to others through it. And here's the amazing thing that happens. If all you ever are is a reservoir of God's comfort and it never goes out, then you never will receive the fullness of the healing that God has for you. But the minute that you are willing to share the comfort that you've received to others, then the process of God's healing can be completed in you. You will never find the complete healing of God until you are an active participant in the healing of someone else's life. You go, well, I think that a Christian doesn't have to go to church. I've heard that. Have you heard that before? You can be a Christian and not go to church. Yes, you can. You can absolutely 100% be a Christian and not go to church. However, you cannot be an effective Christian and not go to church. You go, well, how do you know that? I know that because Jesus Christ said we are to love one another. Paul says we are to comfort one another. James says we are to bear each other's burdens. It's not about you. You don't go to church simply because, and you're not part of a church simply because it makes you feel good about yourself. If that's the case, you have missed the whole purpose of what Jesus Christ died on the cross for. It is about you also helping others. And so if you want the fullness and the completeness of the healing of God, you have to be an active participant in the healing of other people's scars. Your deepest pain might end up becoming your greatest purpose. Your darkest misery may end up being your most effective ministry. And your desperate heartache could become someone else's greatest hope. It's up to you. You can hide behind the mask of we've got it all figured out. You can wallow in those scars and feel as if you will make it through when you can. Or you can allow the comfort of God to enter into your life and then connect with someone else who needs comfort as well. Your scars could be the key that unlocks someone else's prison. And when you think about that, maybe in the end, your scars really aren't about you after all. Maybe your scars are about that person that you're currently having a relationship with, that you just discovered is going through something that you went through 5 years ago, or 10 years ago, or 20 years ago. And you've worked through and you've worked over and it just still is there, but maybe when we stop and think, God always has a purpose. And even in the most painful experiences of our lives, God can still take it and turn it into something glorious. Because God is a God of redemption. If God can take the symbol of execution and suffering, which is the cross, scientists and doctors tell us that the cross was the most painful, horrific, and torturous way to die. And yet the God of redemption takes the sign of execution and horrific suffering and turns it into a symbol of life and hope. If God can do that, God can take whatever scar is in your past and unlock someone else's prison if you're willing to share it in a way that honors Him. Father God, we thank You so much. We struggle with the scars of our life often. We struggle with the pain. We struggle with the misery. We struggle with the tears, the emotions that well up inside of us. And yet, God, if we're able to take a step back, we can see that You want to take those scars. And as You bring comfort and mercy and healing into our lives, we're actually to extend that to others. We're actually supposed to be a conduit of Your hope, be an extension cord of Your comfort into others' lives. God, I pray that we would take a step back from being so focused on those things as a negative and maybe be able to put it in the context that those scars could be something that You allowed to happen into our life so that we could be someone that helps others find healing. God, I pray that You would give us that view of things, that perspective. Because God, sometimes our scars can be so overwhelming that we feel like we can be of no use. But the truth is, God, those very things that we thought would disqualify us, undercut us, harm us, may be the very thing that You want to use to bring Yourself the greatest glory and bring healing into someone else's hurting life. We thank You for that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.